over 6 months to exit power, and he's determined to fight off any claims that may damage his legacy as it relates to the fight against corruption. Tonight, the president has clashed with NDC flag bearer and former president John Mahama over his record in tackling corruption. In a vehement defense, the president touted the success of his corruption fight. The NDC flag bearer just yesterday launched a scathing attack on the president's record. Listen.
In the fight against corruption, the NDC has a better record in terms of regime accountability. The NPP has proven in government that it is always reluctant to pursue their own, despite the swelling stench of corruption around the administration. All Ghanaians have received so far is lip service in the fight against corruption. As I said in whole last year, and I quote, it does not take bravery to prosecute one's political opponent. The true test in the fight against corruption is holding your own people accountable when they go wrong. And so far, the president has failed this test. Most appallingly, the president has become the clearinghouse for clearing his appointees accused of corruption. He has on several occasions cleared his ministers and appointees when allegations of corruption have been made against them. Indeed, it was a very low day for Ghana when the president peddled a falsehood on a panel at the recent African Investment Forum that all allegations of corruption made against people in his administration have been investigated and cleared by independent investigative bodies. That was an obvious untruth. Even more worrying is the historic heights this administration has taken nepotism to. All comments referring to the large number of families and cronies serving in this administration are falling on deaf ears. At the same time, insensitivity keeps manifesting in the high taxes, high port charges, high fuel prices, high transport fares, high commodity and food prices, high rent, high CD to dollar exchange rate, high national debt, and high levels of insecurity.
But President Akufo-Addo won't take any of it. He described as unfortunate, claims he is only interested in clearing his appointees accused of corruption.
I'm sure we are all aware of the statement by the former president and perennial NDC presidential candidate, John Dramani Mahama, stigmatizing me as the clearing agent. Because for him, mere allegation without more is enough to merit condemnation of an accused public official, especially one of my administration. For my part, and let me state it again for the record, I will not set aside due process and the rules of natural justice on the altar of the fight against corruption, no matter how much opprobrium this position incurs for me.
Well, addressing a gathering to formally open the law house, the president says various laws passed and the strengthening of anti-corruption institutions have helped in minimizing the impact of the canker on the society.
Despite the ugly noises, the fight against corruption has been a cornerstone of my administration. With a clear understanding that corruption thrives in an atmosphere conducive to its concealment, and that access to information is a vital tool in the fight against corruption, my government in this first term ensured the passage of the Right to Information Act in order to give true meaning and effect to Article 21, Clauses 1F of the Constitution. The Act, which successive governments have failed to pass, see to the implementation of the constitutional right to information held by a public institution to foster a culture of transparency and accountability in public affairs, subject to exemptions necessary and consistent with the protection of the public interest in a democratic society. The Act is now being fully implemented, with the governing board chaired by an experienced and respected retired High Court judge. The Ministry of Information has trained information officers in various ministries, departments, and agencies of government to support the full application of the law.
Well, let's do more on this. We're joined on the phone lines now by Felix Kwachiofosu, who was an A2, former President John Mahama. Felix, I'm grateful for joining. First off, this is what the president says, that his track record is better than your boss. What's your response?
What a stale joke. You see, those of you in the media too, I need to put you on the carpet and criticize you. Sometimes, when there is truth, you don't need to waste time asking us politicians. You know that what the president is saying is not only false, but it does not make sense. How can any rational human being who has lived in this country under President Akufo-Addo for the last 8 years ever see that he has any record on anti-corruption to even speak of? And you in the media know it. So why do you like to waste time on these matters?
Well, Felix, he says that.
That was a mild criticism of you, but let me go on to the substance of the matter.
No, no, but I wanted to come in. He says that, well, I have allowed the laws to work. And our laws say one is presumed innocent until proven guilty. So what's wrong if a president, what is that?
You are in the media. You know what he's saying is not only false, and that it does not make sense as well.
That he hasn't allowed the laws to work?
How has he allowed any law to work? Please, what law did he allow to work when over 400 excavators got missing in this country? Which law worked? I beg you, which law worked when it was certified that elements in his government engaged in visa fraud in the Australia visa scandal? Which law worked on that occasion? Which law has worked since it came to light that Cecilia Dapa stashed $1 million or more in her house? Which law has worked since the SML deal came to light? Which law has worked in any of the multiple instances of corruption for which evidence has been adduced under President Akufo-Addo?
Well, Felix, he has referred all of them to the appropriate authorities for investigation. Cecilia Dapa was handled by the OSP, then given to the EOCO to continue. All of those issues you've mentioned, he says, I'm allowing the right authorities to investigate to come clear on whether or not these people are complicit. Is that not the right thing to do?
No law has worked in this country since the Australia visa scandal broke out. Tell me, which law has worked? Is it not a matter of fact? Did you in the media not disclose to us that elements in the Akufo-Addo administration have actually taken people who are not journalists, acquired defense for them, and made them pose as journalists, causing us tremendous embarrassment? You know that no law works. So why are you merely repeating what the president is saying? Why you know it is not true? That is the difficulty I have with the position that some of you take in the media. You see, not only that President Akufo-Addo leads the most corrupt government in this country's history, he is also exceptionally arrogant in the way that he defends the corruption and his non-action. It does appear to us that for as long as any wrongdoing occurs and it is done by an NPP person, you can take it for granted that nothing will happen to him. And that is precisely what he has done. No Ghanaian leader has had the sort of arrogant posturing that President Akufo-Addo has had in the matter of anti-corruption or the lack of it. And I think that it is important that when matters are clear, we don't waste time haggling over it. This president has done nothing and will do nothing about corruption insofar as it involves an NPP person. In fact, even when members of his party have been involved in the killing of people during elections, he does nothing. So why would anybody be surprised if he doesn't act over corruption?
Well, what you just said there were just basically allegations that people died. You are saying that members of his party, you can't prove that. But again, if you are talking about the things he's done, we all know about the Right to Information Act, which was in Parliament for decades. We know that now, since he came, they've established the Office of the Special Prosecutor. Again, spending to anti-corruption agencies have improved. And is enough for him to say, well, or for all of us to say, he's done some. Maybe there are things that he should improve. But you can't say he's done nothing at all. Not so.
No, what use is there in passing a law that does no work? If you set up an Office of Special Prosecutor who prosecutes nobody, and in fact the president himself creates impediments so that the Office of the Special Prosecutor cannot work, of what use is it? The funding that you say he has increased for anti-corruption bodies, how has it helped us? When Ghana was assessed in the anti-corruption fight by Transparency International, how far did we go? Are we not performing much worse than we did before this president took over? So how have we benefited from the so-called increased spending that the president is talking about? And you and I know that this president has done nothing about corruption and will do nothing about it. But thankfully, his tenure has just about 6 months left. He and his party will be booted out in general election. And he will not be in a position anymore to manipulate law enforcement and judicial processes to protect his appointees. And President Obama has made this clear that anybody who has taken a dime belonging to the state will be held accountable when he becomes president. So unfortunately, we have no option as a country than to wait for this MPP party that is in government to be booted out, for some real accountability to be exacted from those who have committed those crimes against the people of this country.
Okay, hold the line for me. Let me bring in Palgrave Boachidankwa. He speaks for the government on governance and security. Palgrave, grateful for joining us. Now,
thank you very much for the opportunity.
The point is, the president has always come out to clear his appointees before the right agencies who are clothed with authority to investigate come out to do so. Why wouldn't the president wait and allow the authorities to do so before he comes out always to say, well, my appointee has been investigated and they've been cleared?
A very good evening to you and a very good evening to Felix and to your listeners. And to state that it's taking President Nana Addo Akufo-Addo, the only president in this fourth republic to be able to handle corruption head on than any other person. President Nana Addo Akufo-Addo in 2017, when he had an opportunity to lead his country, established the Office of the Special Prosecutor and ensured that the mandate that is given to that office to prosecute, to investigate corruption and corruption-related activities continue to go on. I mean, it's right to state very clearly that the launch of this and the opening of this law house comes to another hallmark in our rule of law and our journey towards democracy. I mean, I'm surprised to hear that Felix throws these bombs around as though President Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo has done nothing at all. The Ghanaian people remember him for the good things that he has done in ensuring that the rule of law works, and it goes to the very details of that. The president spoke about the RPI, which has made information accessible to anybody and everybody who wants to know what is going on in government. It's this president that has opened this level of open democracy that we have never seen in this fourth republic. We Ghanaians will continually commend him for his work, for his leadership, for the transparency, for the accountability, and that's, of course, I mean, every other issue that has come as relates to corruption and alleged corruption, the president has referred those matters to the state agencies, and the state agencies that have not found any evidence whatsoever at all have come to bear to prove that. And so for me,
Palgrave,
I don't want us to reduce the conversation
the bone
to
of contention here,
politics, but this is to state very clearly the president is very clear in his mind that he will go into the annals of history in this country, that he's been the president that has set up this Office of the Special Prosecutor.
Well, Palgrave, the bone of contention here is that the president has always been in a hurry to say, my appointee is not liable for the corruption being leveled against him. But the question that the former president is asking is, who amongst his appointees now is being prosecuted for a corruption-related offense? Do we take it that, well, all of the people against whom we had corruption allegations are clean and none of them is liable for those allegations?
My brother, we live in a rule of law. We live in a country that law abides us. If the persons have been alleged to be involved in corruption and corruption-related activities, and there is no evidence to substantiate those allegations, how do you prosecute someone like that? You can't prosecute someone that an allegation has come that you don't have evidence to substantiate those allegations. But in the Eswal government, there are people that were involved in corruption, Maslok scandal. Look at it. They are serving a jail term. NCA scandal. Look at it. They are serving a jail term. So really, people that have been involved in corruption and causing financial loss to the state, that there are evidences to show. Those people are behind the bars. If people have evidences, they should bring it out. Any single person that is named to be alleged to be involved in corruption and corruption-related activities that has not been brought to book with evidence, name the person, bring the evidences. And the government of President Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, without a shadow of doubt, will show no one favoritism to ensure that every single person that is named, if there are evidences to prove that, they will go to his home and serve their jail term.
So even in the Cecilia Dapar case, yes, the law enforcement agencies are handling it. But you look at that case and say there's no evidence.
How do you look at a case of someone having money in his home and then you juxtapose that because he has X amount of money in his home is due to corruption and corruption related activities, of what evidence do you have to that?
Mm.
I mean, you know, in the law and in the right sense and the framework of the law, you must bring evidence to bear. The special prosecutor sent the case to FBI. FBI brought a report to state that they have not found anything whatsoever as it relates to the person being involved in other issues that they have purported that Madame.
You saw a copy of that report.
And so, if you saw a copy of that report, prosecute someone, you must bring evidence.
Mm.
The evidence must be clear, and the judge must be able to convict that individual, and then the person will serve a jail term.
Did you see evidence of that FBI report which says nothing was found on her?
I've been seeing the report. It's open. It's public notice. You can request it through the RTI Commission. You will get it. I've seen it.
Okay. Let me bring in Mariada, who is the executive director of the Ghana Integrity Initiative. Grateful to you for joining us. How would you rate the state of corruption, you know, between the two administrations, really? Because you understand what it is.
Thank you very much, and good evening to you and also to the other panelists. I have listened in keenly, and I am not surprised at the for the positions they have taken. Indeed, it is frustrating, and if you do not take care, sometimes we tend to say that the fight against corruption for this government, I believe they've given us a raw deal for it. We, first of all, I say so because this government had a will of the people to prosecute an anti-corruption agenda, and for which, if I may refer to the corruption perception index which Felix mentioned, you would realize that since the data became comparable in 2012, the highest we have gained so far has been 48, and that was in 2014. Again, the highest dip in the CPI was in 2016, when we dipped from 47 to 43. Since then, we have not made any significant gain. Since then, and also let me take it from 2017, when government came, current government came into power, we have scored 40 in 2017, 41 in 2018, 41 in 2019. We made two points gain in 2019, and then that's 41. So 2020, we made 2 points, that's 43. And since then, we have been on 43 for 4 continuous years. And if I may say again, this is a very worrying trend that we must all pay attention to. We should not in any way be tickling ourselves in the ribs and be smiling and laughing about it, because this has implications for the future. We should not be surprised as a people if we see a further dip in our scores, because the data shows that countries which have tended to stagnate for a long time have the high potential to drop. Again, you would realize that if you look at the data and evidence from other surveys, including the Afrobarometer, trust in government has dwindled from 70-something percent to a current 35 or even less. And that is another worrying trend, to say that the people, either by their perceptions and also experiences, remember, it's not all the surveys that talk about perception. The SRAJ and Statistical Service Survey looked also at experiences of corruption. And you would realize that most of these surveys are seeing and speaking to the fact that trust in the fight against corruption has dwindled. And that is very worrying. So we should not be tickling ourselves and patting ourselves in the back too much that we have done that much. Giving resources to institutions is a good thing. But then if these institutions do not show any evidence of significant gains in the times past since 2017, then we cannot wholly be smiling and saying we have done a good job.
But we all know the issues that have come up, and we
know the corruption issues that have come up, which have not been dealt with. How can we in any way say that for somebody to have money in their homes, stashed in various locations, picked up, has no issue to talk about? And yet the president, in his response to this lady's resignation, says he has the confidence in the lady and knows she would be cleared at the end of the day. So what do you expect of any institution that is working? What do we expect? We know the president has appointed, but we agree that people who have been appointed may not be safe. So we should allow the systems to work without any interference, without any proclamations and statements which could affect results thereof. Mm. We all know that these people doing these investigations have been appointed by somebody and are held accountable to that person. And we know some of the cases that have come up in the past which have occasioned the naming. I am not in any way justifying and saying that perhaps the NDC has done more. No, that is not the case. But we are talking about posturing. And the posturing as we see it now, it's not the best because we see so much impunity. And a lot of studies are beginning to talk about state capture, are beginning to talk about impunity of power, and are beginning to spell that we are not doing well. And this is not conjecturing. These are surveys that speak also to the evidence
that Ghana has culturally endemic corruption trait. And some say it reflects even our proverbs, like say, one hand bats the other or baits the other. You will not go hungry if your brother is on top of a mango tree. So in tackling corruption, where do we need to start from?
In fighting corruption, we need a cultural reorientation, and the NACAP document spoke about it. But then, you know, these proverbs are not unique to Africa or Ghana.
Okay.
There have been, if you go to other dispensations, they've contextualized their issues and are able to manage these. And their systems and structures are set up in such a way that nobody can use some of these proverbs to get away with the wrongdoing. And so we should not overemphasize the role of culture and the role of a Ghanaian people wanting to give gifts as the symptom of our fight against corruption being lost. No, we are saying that as much as we would want to blame that, we believe that the fight against corruption would have to do essentially, number one, with defining the concept very well, to contextualize it in our ways, to be able to deal with it.
Okay.
And we see that the OSB and Yoko have demonstrated without any shred of doubt that our definition against corruption should encapsulate some of the issues that are currently not done.
Okay.
And we believe that the political office holders are benefiting from it. So we are all looking on while this is happening.
Okay.
Apart from our laws, we need to see some commitment of leadership, showing that they are not interfering. But when we set up offices and yet we are pulling the strings from behind and making work difficult for these offices, then we are not doing our role as we should.
Okay.
We need to be able to commit. We need to be able to show that by doing, and not just through rhetoric. If we continue to talk is cheap.
Okay.
Let us see the action.
Okay, Madam Ada, I'm grateful to you. But just in 10 seconds, if you can do this for me. The president has said a lot. He's made sure that the RTI is there. He set up OSB. What's your assessment of him as a person and his fight against corruption in 10 seconds?
He has done some. He has not done others. You see, we had so much expectation from the 2016 manifesto. Most of the things he says he would do, which ticks the box, they did. But then when it comes to following up on the issues of ensuring that we are getting the results for the fight against corruption, none next to none has been done.
Okay. All right.
And it is so painful because we see, Felix mentioned some of them, including the Jiba, including the FADA issues that came up. We also now have issues apart from Cecilia Dapa to Brian A. Champon to the Smith issues.
And
you begin to wonder what is happening to this country.
I'm grateful.
We need to see more.
Okay, I'm grateful.
Much.
Thank you very much. Felix, let me bring you back again. You spoke about the OSP. That's an office that we all had hopes in. Question is, will the former president work with OSP? How does he even rate the office of the OSP?
Well, the OSP has done nothing. And it's not surprising that it has done nothing. It was never set up with the intent to do anything. It was only a small screen that President Akufo-Addo put in place to shield him against accountability so that he can only pass the buck. And since the OSP has been around, he has done everything in his power to frustrate their work. That is how come the former occupant of the OSP's office, who in any event described President Akufo-Addo as a murder serpent of corruption, was forced to resign. The current OSP, we all know, is going through a lot of frustration. Impediments are being put in his way in the executive and in the judicial. And we all know that. But the point is that it is not about setting up institutions. When you set up institutions and those institutions prove useless in the fight against corruption, what benefit do we derive as a country? So like I said, at this stage, if there is anybody listening to me or in this country who thinks that President Akufo-Addo will do anything about corruption, that fellow is waiting
for
his time.
The only way that
President Akufo-Addo and his corrupt government can be held to account is when they are voted out and the NDC takes over and we wage a sustained campaign against anti-corruption. President Obama has made it clear. And he has a track record.
Will you collapse the office of the OSP?
Whether you are in his government or in the previous government, he will hold you to account. That is the kind of leader we need.
Felix, will you take away the office of the OSP or you work with it?
Hello?
Will you work with the OSP or you collapse that office?
Well, it doesn't lie in my mouth to say. As long as it remains on our statute books as an institution that is supposed to fight against corruption, we will do what we can.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That has been Top Story. My name is Samuel Kojobrace, brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies. Up next is Newsnight.